The reading today is taken from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, which can be found at page 1159 of the Church Bibles. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, thank you. Well, may I welcome you very warmly indeed to St. Helens once again. It's good to have you with us, especially if you're here for the very first time. Just to let you know that lunch is provided after our meeting together. There's sandwiches over there and soup behind me over there on your left. And may I draw your attention to a couple of things on the inside of the sheet there. Over on the right-hand column, you'll be aware that we've booked out the Sports Academy to watch rather than to do anything active on London Bridge for the game against South Africa on Saturday afternoon. If you'd like to bring friends along to that, Simon Smith is going to be speaking, ex-rugby international, before the game. So that would be a good first sort of thing to bring somebody here, a testimony from a Christian rugby player. And then the various Christmas events are on these remarkable invitation cards, which if you can't see the writing, you'll certainly be able to see it even in the dark. And that is the Tuesday, the 19th of December. And the carol service here at lunchtime just lasts a little bit longer than our normal lunchtime meeting. We start at 1:10, finish around about 1:45, and you'll be out certainly by 1:50. Let's try and pack the building for the carol service. It's great to have the place absolutely jam-packed. Do invite people along to that. And because we're so full so frequently, we're also going to have one on Wednesday the 20th at 6:30, and there's a slightly different shade of pink for that. And you might like to bring somebody along after work here, 6:30, on Wednesday the 20th in the evening. Again, it'd be great to see a good crowd here. We'll sing three or four carols, stick to the well-known ones, and have a few readings, and then there'll be a talk as well. It's a great opportunity to bring somebody. Something for the partnership, those of you who are part of the partnership there as well. Shall we pray? And then we will study God's word together. Our gracious Father, we praise you that it is your work to open our minds and our hearts to your word. And therefore we pray that by your Holy Spirit you would do your work this lunchtime in the middle of a busy week. Please would you enable us to hear your word and grant us open minds and open hearts to receive what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, now, our subject you will have seen over the next few weeks is the glorious work of God's Holy Spirit. We can see that that is what Paul is talking about from verse 3 of our reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. And Paul in this chapter is speaking, in fact, all the way through this letter, is speaking about the authentic and genuine work of God's Holy Spirit. Which means that immediately we're on to what is a very topical subject today. I'm told that at 8:15 this morning on the Today programme there was a report saying that the younger generation, which is all of us here, are today extremely interested in spiritual matters. And certainly that is the case when you read the papers and look in the bookstores and so on. But all the way through this section, indeed all the way through this letter, Paul is arguing against the background of a spiritual city that his ministry and the work he does is authentic spirituality. And you can see that tone just from verse 1 of our reading. Are we beginning to commend ourselves to you again? Or do we, like some people, need letters of recommendation. You can see it from verse 5. We are not competent as ministers of God, engaged in authentic ministry, in and of ourselves, but God has made us competent. So as we said last week, this series is going to be a presentation of and a defense of an authentic and genuine work of God's Holy Spirit. As we go, may I remind us, if we need reminding, that the work of Satan, we saw last week, is to blind or seduce the mind. I got into terrible trouble last week down at Aldersgate because I said to the men and women down there that I hope they had not left their heads outside the building, and that what was going on here on a Tuesday and a Wednesday is far, far more important and needs much more careful attention than any short-term deal or contract that they might be working on out in the city. And I think a couple of the lawyers were hoping to come in for a bit of a snooze, and they got rather uppity afterwards with me. But of course, if that is Satan's work, to work in the sphere of our mind, to dull our thinking, and to get us to think crooked about what is authentically spiritual, then when we come in here on a Tuesday or a Wednesday in one of the other works across the city, we need to have our brains in gear. Christians don't leave their thinking faculties outside the building when they meet together, far from it. And we especially need to be thinking straight if Satan's work is to dress up false teachers, as we saw last week, in Christian camouflage in order to infiltrate the church. Now, I do hope you'll get the tape from last week. You can order it and get it sent to you. It'll be with you by tomorrow or the next day. But Paul was saying in chapter 11 that Satan's work is to camouflage his false teachers such that they teach about Jesus, they teach about the Spirit, they teach about the Christian gospel, they draw a salary from the denomination, but they work inside the church. They even think they're serving Jesus Christ, according to chapter 11, but they're actually working for the other side. Now, the city of Corinth was a city just like ours. They were very interested in spiritual things. Spirituality was popular and trendy, and false teachers like this had infiltrated the church. And isn't it fascinating, I was thinking about this over the week as I was mulling over last week, that the Paul writes to the church. He doesn't write to the leaders only. So what he's saying is that it's all of our job to be on the ball as to whether what we are engaged in is authentic or not. You see, we do need to be switched on. We can't just say, oh, well, you know, it's William's job. I strongly advise you against that. It's all of our job to think seriously about what is authentic Christian ministry and authentic work of God's Spirit, what is authentically spiritual. Well, really, there's just one point. You can see it there on the handout. We're going to spend a very, very short period of time on point two. But what is it that marks an authentic work of God's Spirit? And the answer is a changed life. First, an authentic work of God's Spirit impacts the whole of life. It produces a changed life. Now, all of us are used to references. I get asked for references all the time of various people here, there, and everywhere. I expect you do. You probably write them or have them written about you. The language Paul is using in verse 2 of our reading is the language of a reference. Verse 2, you yourselves are our letter, written on our heart, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, written by his Spirit. So do you see, these false teachers obviously came in. They were swish, charming, highly seductive, and they had terrific references. Ah, they were ordained back in 1803, and they've been working for the Church of England for centuries. And they hold out their reference, and they say, well, here's my reference, and what about Paul's? Paul says to the Corinthians, I don't need a reference. You are a reference. Look at your changed life. Indeed, you work as a reference, not just to yourselves, but to the whole world. You are known and read by everybody. People all over the place are hearing about what is going on in the city of Corinth and the change that is happening in those who are being impacted by an authentic work of God's Spirit, known and read by everybody. So do you see his argument? His argument is that an authentic work of God's Spirit actually impacts the life so that the life acts as a reference to everybody. A letter written by the Spirit, verse 3, from Jesus Christ, verse 3, an authentic work of God the Father, verse 3. A teenage girl went to a Christian summer holiday camp, as many children do. She was a particularly difficult girl. I won't mention her name. Maybe she's one of your daughters. Could have been any of our daughters, couldn't she, in some ways? Her name featured with monotonous regularity on her school disciplinary procedures, and she had been the subject of discussion at the twice-termly staff meeting that the entire staff of the school had on more than one occasion. She was difficult, stubborn, unpleasant, and she made life a misery for herself and others when she turned up on the camp. At the camp, she heard the life-changing message of Jesus, and halfway through the second term, word came back to those who were involved with that girl that her name had come up again at the termly staff meeting. And the headmistress had just seen her name, read it out, and said, "What on earth has happened to this girl?" Now, I don't know if anybody, if there was a Christian there, able to give an answer. But that is Paul's point. One of you said exactly the same to me the other day in one of the city works. "Since getting started as a Christian, my friends have begun to notice the difference. My wife has noticed the difference. My children are grateful that I have become a Christian." Do you see verse 3? A public letter read by all. You yourselves are our reference. The authenticating mark of God's Holy Spirit at work in a person is a changed life, and in their offices, in their hotel rooms, in the boardroom, at the photocopier, in the canteen, at home, in the pub, at the office party, on the training course, these Corinthians were known and read by everybody. But it's not just verses 2 and 3, is it? It's verse 6 as well, where Paul argues that the message he preaches brings life from God that has life-changing power. And in order to understand that, we need to understand what this new covenant is all about. A covenant is another word for a contract. Anybody who is employed is more than likely has a covenant between themselves and their employer. Anybody who has a mortgage more than likely has a covenant contract between themselves, or a marriage has a covenant between. Just turn back to Ezekiel, would you? It's on page 868, page 868. "For under the old covenant in the Old Testament, the people of God failed over and over again in this area of changed behavior. And so Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 26, God made a promise of a new covenant. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." Do you see the changed life that is spoken of there resulting from a changed heart? We'll talk about the changed heart next week. I do hope you'll be here, because it is absolutely essential to take this week and next week together. But God makes his promise that a changed life will flow out from a changed heart, that the work of the Spirit will mean that there is a change in the heart such that we want to keep God's law, such that we are keen and delight in serving God. So an authentic work of the Spirit under the new covenant, this authentic work of God, results in a changed desire, a changed love. It results in life brought into our very inner being, such that rather than trying to avoid the law of God, we say to God, I want to please you. But it's not just in verse 6, it's actually there at the end of our chapter in verse 18 as well. Just turn over the page to chapter 3, verse 18. Now we're going to tackle this not next Tuesday, but the Tuesday after. That's 2 weeks' time, isn't it? So we're not going to go into detail here, but just look at the tense of change in verse 18. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness. I don't know what you're thinking about as we talk about this authenticating work of the Spirit. But I guess some of us may be saying, well, you know, I call myself a Christian, and but the last thing I did before I left the house this morning was shout at my wife. I call myself a Christian, but I really lost it with the kids over the weekend. I call myself a Christian, but what about that awful loss of control last year in the office? See the tense of verse 18? We are being. So Paul envisages that over against the life of anybody in whom the work of the Spirit is active is a sign, rather like you see on the side of the M25, you know, work in progress. Except unlike that sign, there really is work in progress. I was going to say rail track, but that was so ridiculous an idea that I put that to one side. Do you see, it's not Paul arguing that the Holy Spirit brings perfection now, but that he does bring change. Metamorphosis is the word. We are being changed. Nor does he suggest that it's a kind of constant, like the 90s market, you know, sort of steady, steady, steady upward thing. No, it's much more like the last couple of years, this change. Up and down, but with the overall direction, as the private client smoothies tell you, being in the up direction. See, Paul does not expect to wait till heaven until there is change. No, we are being transformed. The authenticating mark of the Holy Spirit in a person's life is change. Real spirituality results in moral change. But it's not just in this letter, it's actually in the whole of the Corinthian correspondence that Paul makes this point. They've got such a bad and wrong idea about the Spirit of God that he has to keep making the point. So turn back to chapter 1, verse 6, and you'll see the point again. And notice verse 11 before we read the list. 1 Corinthians 6, 11, page 1148. Paul lists a whole list of things, and he says, page 1148, I'm sorry, did I misdirect you? Page 1148, 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. He says, verse 11, that is what some of you were past. So the assumption is there's been some change. But in what area has there been change? Verse 9, don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers, will inherit the kingdom of God. That is what some of you were. The idea is that from all those practices which are wrong in God's eyes, there has been change if the Holy Spirit is at work in a person's life. So you see, if we need a reference as to whether the work in here is spiritual, and whether there is a genuine work of the Holy Spirit going on, the place to look is not inside St. Helens, is it? If you want to know whether your home church is spiritual, where do you look? Well, we look in the city, in the offices. What happens? What does the Spirit do? Well, he brings change in the area of sexual immorality. So we look at what we think about, what we read, what we watch, the channel that the TV is tuned to in the hotel room, way off in some business trip, wherever it happens to be. The Holy Spirit brings change in the area of idolatry. We think about what we dream of and what shapes our thinking, our aims, our ambitions, what we long for our children. And we say, if we want to know that there's been a real work of the Spirit, well, we'll see change. Adultery, the way we treat the person we're married to and the person we're not married to. Homosexuality, our attitude to same-sex relationships. Theft, the way we conduct our business. You see, the people we work with, our boss, he'll be the first to know whether there's a genuine work of the Holy Spirit going on in St. Helens. He should be. Greed, our accountant, they should be the first person as they look at our accounts at the end of the year and see that the money is just all doesn't seem to be hoarded anymore. There is a work of the Holy Spirit. There's been real change. Drunkards, our wine merchant, or off-license, the people we spend every evening with, and our family, as they watch the level on the bottles, they'll be the first to know whether there's a genuine work of the Holy Spirit or whether, actually, we're just fraudsters and there's nothing going on at all. Slanderers in the office, our gossip, they'll be the first to know, you see, the people we work with. Now, do you see what Paul is doing? I don't know if you remember those advertisements in the days before political correctness, when they advertised on the old black and white telly for washing powder, and invariably the person doing the advertisement was a Glaswegian housewife, and there would be a careful explanation, wouldn't there, as to why her washing powder worked, and then having washed one part of the weekly load in Daz, or whatever it was, and the other in another well-known brand, Omo, Ajax, Bold, or Ariel, which we all know is exactly the same anyway, but we won't go into that. She then heads over to the window for the window test. And in Glasgow in November, it is invariably glorious sunshine. And as she pins up this whiter-than-white football strip, or her husband, who always has been wallowing in some sump somewhere, it's obvious that Daz washes whiter than whatever the other one is. Now, it's as if Paul is holding up the Corinthian church. He's not dishonest about it. They are far from perfect. But he says there has been real change. Here is evidence that there is an authentic work of God. Changed lives. You are a letter known and read by everybody. The new covenant ministry, writing God's law on your heart, has been done amongst you. You are being transformed. That is what some of you once were. And in the last couple of minutes, I want to do what Paul does in this letter and hold up other well-known brands and say, are we being conned when it comes to spirituality? Okay, because obviously in Corinth, that's what Paul wanted to do. He was holding up the Corinthians, the authentic real McCoy, and he was asking serious questions about other forms of spirituality. I was fascinated in August to read an article, this is one of the reasons why we're doing this series, entitled Spiritual Guides for the Me Generation. It was talking about how trendy it is to have a spiritual director or a spiritual guide, but the more one went on reading, the more it became just abundantly clear that all these spiritual guides were doing was massaging me and my ego, rubber stamping my lifestyle, helping me to manage stress in the idolatrous, godless way I'm living. Here is a journalist from one of the broadsheets. Her stated aim, my job always is to help others find balance in their lives and to develop their potential to the best they can be. But the authentic work of the Holy Spirit is to bring radical change. It's not just to help me fulfill myself. No, it's to bring the life of God into my life such that I begin to be transformed. And we have to learn to say boo to the fraudsters. When somebody next talks to you about spirituality, say to yourself, well, what real change has it brought? This book by Andrew Harvey, The Direct Path, I know I've mentioned it before, it's full of amazing techniques to alleviate stress, lying on the floor on the earth outside and giving your stress away. The hot spa treatment appeals to me. Or writing in sharp, wild, telegraphic, unedited bursts your reasons for being stressed, there may be no different to what you normally do there, on a white piece of paper, and then burning it or burying it in the yard. I'll watch for signs of you in the commercial Union Square. Now, it's been heralded as a great hit. He is one of the most spiritual, divinely inspired men of our age. Why did he develop the direct path to God? Because the person he was working with objected to him and his utterly immoral lifestyle. And so he said to himself, I will go and make my own path. I will forge my own path. And it's an utter forgery, isn't it? There is no change. There's no demand for moral change. There is no power for moral change. There's no desire to keep God's will. It's straight fraudulence. And we need to be clear on that. So not just in that area, but in the area of Christian things as well, we must look at ourselves and say, well, what do we think the authentic mark of the Holy Spirit is? You'll read all sorts of things today that give all sorts of ideas about the authentic mark of God's Holy Spirit, a breath on the face, tingly feelings, wobbly on your feet, emotions, ecstatic experiences, ethereal experiences. There were plenty of all those things in Corinth. But the thing Paul looks for is not what goes on in here, but what goes on out there. And we need to ask ourselves whether there is an authentic work of God's Spirit going on. There will be real change. We need to pray for that work in our own lives. And we'll find that a church that has an authentic work of God's Holy Spirit doesn't need PR or advertising, because accountants, colleagues, bosses, husbands, wives, friends, children will all be saying, I've read the letter. What's going on? Well, now, next week, do come back. We'll see how the heart is changed. And the work of the Holy Spirit is described in a very strange way next week. Paul describes the ministry of the Holy Spirit as the ministry of justification, forgiveness. I think that is quite surprising. If you don't think that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is the ministry of justification, then our thinking about the Holy Spirit is not biblical, and we need to change it. And next week we'll try and do that. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we praise you that the work of your Holy Spirit is to bring life, to move and change our hearts by bringing us forgiveness and moving us to want to live for you. We pray for that work earnestly in our hearts. Forgive us, we pray, for our lack of transformation, that we are so slow in so many areas. We pray that here at St. Helens there might be a rich and powerful work of your Holy Spirit in our lives as we go out to live for you as letters to be read by everybody. And we ask it for your name's sake. Amen.